Bezat Hashem, this coming Tuesday, we're going to celebrate Shavuot. I want to talk a little bit about the meaning for the holiday of Shavuot. What does it mean to the nation of the Jews? And also to touch a little bit about the inner meaning of the Megillah of Ruth that is read on the month, on the holiday of Shavuot. And a lot of people ask, why do we read the Megillah of Ruth of Shavuot? And there is a connection. If our sages decided to read about the Megillah, means that there is a connection to the holiday. So just to give a very short overview and explanation, Ruth was at the time of the period that is called Tkufat HaShoftim, the period of the judges, which was about, give or take, 400 years after the Jews came into Israel with Yoshua. Bnei Israel, they went out of Mitzrayim, they were in the desert for 40 years, then Yoshua brought them into Israel. About 400 years later, started a period, and that period was called Tkufat HaShoftim, the period of the judges. And towards the period of the judges, this is around the time when the story with Ruth happened. Now, after that, it was right on the border, started a new period, and this period is called the period of the kings. If you are a little bit alert, aware of the order in Tanakh, in the books of Tanakh, then first comes the period of Shoftim, the book of Shoftim, and then will come the book of Melachim. This goes by the periods. So first was the periods of the judges, then was the periods of the kings, which of course the first king was Shaul. He was the first king in Israel, and which after that came, of course, David the Melech. But at the time, around that time, there was a certain family, and the family was from the tribe of Yehuda, and there was a very respectful family, and the father and the mother, the father was called Elimelech, and the mother was called Naomi. They were at the time considered a very big and respectful family, like what you call in our days high society or celebrity or whatever you call it today. They were from the tribe of Yehuda. Now they had two boys. One of them was called Machlon, and the other one was called Chilion. And they wanted to marry off these two boys. Now, at that time, there was a famine in the land, and this family, they moved out of Israel. And they went to a place called Moab. Moab, in our day, is Jordan. So they did not want to stay in the land. And they moved. They hired a moving company. They called a real estate agent, and they moved to Moab. They relocated. Like 20 years ago, there was a famine in Israel. There was not a famine without food, but in business was a very hard period. In business, I don't know how you call it in English, depression or recession. So that's what happened about 20 years ago. I lived in Israel. I was into real estate. I made a lot of money. And then there was a recession in around that time, 96, 97. So I left Israel. I went to Moab. I went to America to make money. So, excuse me? Yes, I was like Yaakov. I went to Haran. But Baruch Hashem, I came with a wife and kids. Yaakov came back with six wives. I only came up with four wives. I came with one. He came with 12 kids. I came with six. So, Baruch Hashem. Yeah, I always say that I went to Haran to bring my wife out of Haron Af, the place of the disgusting place of the world, America, and I brought her back. And Baruch Hashem. So, what? Of course, it's being taped. Everything is being taped. So I know a lot of people are not happy with me saying that America is not a nice place, but we're not going to get into that sugya right now. But anyways, I'm just comparing, you know, nothing to take anything serious, not to take things personal here. So Yaakov, I always compare the story that Yaakov ran away from his land. He went to Haran. He made money. He made a wife, met wives, made a family, brought kids and came home. So Yaakov Avinu was 17 years in Haran. I was 17 years in America. So same story. Just a little bit different. He's a tzaddik, I'm not. So back to our topic. This family, Elimelech and Venomi, they moved to Moab. Moab is where today is Jordan. And they wanted to marry off their daughter, their sons. So they met two lovely girls. They were sisters. One of them was named Ruth, and the other one was named Orpah. And they were not so simple girls. Some say that they were the daughters of the king of Moab. One opinion says that they were the daughters of the king of Moab. Another opinion says that they were just daughters of kings, not necessarily the king of Moab. But they met these two lovely ladies and they wanted to marry them to their boys. So they converted them. They converted both Ruth and Orpah, and they married both the boys, Mahlon and Chilion. That's it. That's what the story says. Now, the story says that since they left the land of Israel, there was what's called a kpeda, ikpidu aleihem mishamayim. They didn't like it in the heavens that they left, so to say, Israel. They left everybody behind, and they didn't want to stick around with their nation. So there was a gzera, there was a decree from Shamayim based on this hakpada, and both the husbands, they died. First of all, Elimelech died, and then the sons died. So, because in Shamayim there was a decree, a prosecution that they left Israel, and they were a very respected family, and it wasn't the right thing to they just get up and leave. They should have stayed and showed an example to everybody that, okay, so what if there's a famine? We'll stick through it. They got out and they wanted to be comfortable. So it says, Hikpidu lehem mishamayim. They didn't see it in a nice way in the heavens. And unfortunately, Elimelech died and the two sons, the husbands died too. So now Naomi was left widowed and both Ruth and Orpah were left widowed. So Ruth wanted to come back to Eretz Israel. So and Naomi wanted to come back to Eretz Israel. So Ruth and Orpah said, "We're not leaving you. We're coming with you." Now, the Zohar explains that in this separation happened all sorts of things. The first thing is that Ruth got married to Boaz. This was something positive that happened. But the negative thing that happened is that Orpah fell back into the klipa, which is, in the positive way, happened two things in this separation. What was the separation? Is that when Naomi wanted to go back to Eretz Israel, then they both followed them. Both Ruth and Orpah followed her, and she told him, "Listen, you don't have to come with me." And Ruth said, "Listen, I don't care what happens, I'm sticking with you. I'm not leaving you." Orpah decided, "No, you know what, I'm going to go back. I'm going to make a U-turn." So what happened was that these two sisters, they got separated. Now Ruth went with Naomi, and Orpah made a U-turn and went back. The Zohar explains that the result of this separation was that Ruth ended up marrying Boaz, which happened with Boaz. They had a boy named Ovad, and then they had a child named Ishai, and then he had a boy named David. So from this separation, one positive thing came out, which is the marriage of Ruth and Boaz, which from that came David the Melech. But Orpah, when she made a U-turn, then she fell back into the klipa, all the way back into the klipa. Now, when the Jews left Mitzrayim, this is basically the general story. We're not going to get into too many details, but this is the general story what happened. And then, of course, Naomi, she was, and Naomi and Ruth, they were kind of attached to each other. They stuck to each other and so forth. Now, in the concept of Mitzrayim, because the holiday of Shavuot, it's so to say, finalizes the whole concept of Mitzrayim. And in the concept of Mitzrayim, the reality, the Metziut of Mitzrayim was slavery. Now, what happened in this slavery, so to say, what happened in the concept, in the story of Mitzrayim? A, that millions of people died in the 210 years of the slavery. Millions. I mean, there were many generations. Obviously, they were slaves. There's no need to explain here that there were slaves in Egypt. But one of the things that was very dominating is that millions of them died in Mitzrayim in the state of slavery. The second thing that is very dominating is that the nation of the Jews, the nations of Israel, was born into slavery. They weren't born and became slaves. This is a very big difference between somebody who's born free and then becomes a slave. The generation that left Egypt, they were born slaves. They were born into this mentality, to the reality of a slave. And it's a very big difference. When somebody, chas v'shalom, I mean, we don't have it in our generation, but somebody, actually we do have, but it's not exactly the same. In our generation, somebody can be chas v'shalom arrested and go to jail. He's not born in jail. He was born free. He did a bad act and he's finding himself in jail. I actually saw a documentary, that's why I said it is applicable to our generation, that women that go to jail for many years, they're allowed to have a baby. And then what happens is that the child is born in the jail. I saw once a very sad documentary because the women are there for 20 years, they have 100% right to have a baby. So they're allowing to have a baby, and the baby is born into jail, but the baby is not in jail. So the baby is allowed, the child is allowed to go in and out and in and out, but his mother's in jail. And they can't separate the mother and the child, so the child lives in jail. It's a very sad documentary that I saw a couple of years ago. It was a very controversial, because in one way, you can't take the woman's right to have a child. But on the other hand, I don't want to get into that concept. But the point is that in our generation it's not so common, but in the time of the generation of Mitzrayim, they were born into slavery. And in many times you can find that somebody, for example, the generation of the desert, they were born into the desert. So we were born into exile. I mean, some generations, look at the generation of Rabbi Akiva, they were at the time of the Holy Temple and they were exiled out. They saw the destruction and they were pushed out. So they had two worlds. Same thing with the generation of Mitzrayim. They had the world of the slavery and the world of freedom. The generation in the desert that went into Mitzrayim, into Israel, they had the desert and the... So there are some generations that had two concepts. The generation of the Egypt, they were born into slavery. Now there are two types of slaves. The slave that was born a slave and the slave that was born free and became a slave. So, either way you're looking at it, the leaving of Egypt was a very big extreme. Going from being a complete slave with a very harsh life, whoop, into complete freedom, and everything is being catered to you. So they went from being literally slaves, working 24 hours a day, being beaten up, tortured, and so forth. Suddenly they're in the desert, food comes from the heavens, and everything is catered to them, and they're totally free. This is what's called in Hebrew kitzoniut. I don't know the correct and accurate word in English. You might say extreme, but kitzoniut is like that it's two separate things that are so far apart that is like, you know, we have a term in Hebrew, it says Shamayim ve'aretz. The distance between one and the other is very, very extreme. This is called kitzoniut, because they came from the level of a slave that was born into slavery. 7 weeks later, they're in the level of an angel, standing in front of Hashem. And in a very high level. They refined themselves for 7 weeks to a point that they were able to receive the Torah. This is kitzoniut. It's two extremes. Now, what I want to take from that this is also happens in my life, this kitzoniut. There's always these extremes in my life, in my personal life. And I can see in my life that sometimes I go from one extreme to the other. I told you that less than 20 years ago, I went to Moab, I went to America. So I went from one extreme to another extreme. Two countries, from Israel to America, total different countries. Then, 16 years ago, from being completely, completely secular, not even caring about Hashem, Peter, whoop, a complete extreme to the other side, completely observant. So this is one example out of many. You see many people, they half of their life, they're not even Jewish. And then they go through a period of conversion and the complete opposite. Now they're completely different faith, completely different religion, everything is different. So this is one example out of many. Not too long ago I met a person that was very, very overweight, and they did a very big diet, and now is very skinny. This is also a big extreme. So we find that in our life we have a lot of different extremes and different changes, big changes in our life. And the Ari HaKadosh explains that when a person goes from, he calls it over mi'olam le'olam, that you move from one world to another. And it happens in many, many parts of our life that you go, you can be single, then you get married, in one night you move from one world to another world. From the world of being single to the world of being married. It's a total different world. A woman can be pregnant, the next day she gives birth, she moves from one world to another world, from being a young woman, and suddenly she becomes a mother. In one second, in one day, I mean, after the second and the third child, she was already a mother. But when the first child is born, she moved from one world to another world, from being a single individual to a mother. So, Arizal calls this, when a person goes, over mi'olam le'olam, that you go from one world to another world. And that creates a very big change. And he calls it shinui gadol, a big change in my life. And we constantly go through these changes. Now, in order for it to be a change, has to be a preparation. If not, you won't accept the change. That's one of the many reasons why a woman is pregnant for 9 months. It has to be a preparation. Can you imagine if a woman would get pregnant and the next day have a child? I mean, this is going to happen very soon when Mashiach comes. But psychologically, you have 9 months to prepare for it. This belly starts small, and then it's bigger, and then it's bigger. I think, psychologically, it would affect the woman completely different if she would get pregnant and spit on the stomach would go out, whoop, in a couple of minutes, and then the baby comes out. I think psychologically it would affect the woman completely different. So, this is one change out of many. A person becomes observant. You don't become observant overnight. It takes you a couple of years. A person converts. It doesn't happen overnight. It can take a couple of years. People get married. They don't meet. Hi, hello, let's get married. Chuppah out. No, there's an engagement period. A preparation. So it has to be a preparation for this big change. But it happens to many people that at some point of their life, they feel that they need to make a change. They want to make a change. They have an urge to change something, and then they need to apply it. Now right now, in our state, where we are at right now, the nation of the Jews, we are in a very big preparation for a very big change. We don't notice it because it's smeared. Look at a pregnant woman, Some people, they have now this thing. What they do is they take a picture. The woman stands in the same place, and they take a picture every week, and then they put all the pictures together, and they do it like a movie, and you're like, you see the stomach comes out. This is, I saw it very, very common now. People do it. We really find ourselves that we're now moving from one world to another, the world of exile to the world of redemption. Since there's a shinui, there's a change, has to be a preparation. Now we're going through this preparation. With going through this unbelievable change in our reality, this is a preparation for Mashiach. Now, where do you see another change in our nation? That you see that a very big part of our nation is becoming closer to Hashem. It looks very popular that in the last 10, 20 years, people becoming closer to Hashem. Everybody is pitom, chozrim betshuva, converting. You see this huge motion of people getting closer to the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Even though one can argue and say, you're right, but you also see a big motion going out of the religion. You're right. You still see that many people from religion, especially the youth, that they're going further away, or that you see that still millions of people don't care about the Torah and the mitzvot. But in general, you see that there's a huge amount of people that are becoming closer to the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Pitom, with a bigger awareness, and even if people are not becoming 100% observant, then they will light candles on Shabbat, they'll put tefillin on something. You see that there's a very major change in our nation, that they say that there's about 1 million people in the last 20, 25 years actually became mamash observant. This is a huge quantity. And probably another 1 million or 2 that they are becoming even more aware. Not to talk about thousands and thousands of converts. So this entire concept is the secret that is called in Kabbalah the secret of Ruth and Orpah. The secret of Ruth and Orpah. That is in each and every one of us, there is a Bechina, a part of us that is like Ruth, and there's a part of us that is like Orpah. One goes to Kedusha, one goes to the Klipa. And the result from that is that there's a lot of emotional and mental problems from this change. And this change, it affects the people a lot. That's why you see that I don't know how it was 100 years ago, but I can very confident say that in our generation, and let's say in the last 20, 30 years, easily 50 to 80% of the world is medicated and not some type of a medication that deals with emotional problems, psychiatric problems, and all sorts of imbalances. And I'm not chas v'shalom mocking or making fun of anybody. I'm just stating the reality. That just to be generous, let's say only 50%, but the reality is that 50% of the world is suffering from some type of an imbalance, either an emotional problem, a psychological problem, something that is coming from the nefesh, comes from the soul. It's not coming from the environment. People maybe blame it on environment. That would be the tool, the nature part that maybe triggers it. But one of the causes for this problem is this great change in the universe. Because there is a great change before Mashiach is coming, and it's affecting people in the core, in their neshama, in their nefesh. So you see, physically, with your own eyes, in our generation, that almost any second, third person has a problem. And again, I'm not saying it chas v'shalom to make fun of somebody or to mock anybody. It's just stating the reality because it has to be taken in the right measurement. Because in our generations, doctors don't know how to deal with it. A person goes to a doctor and tells the doctor, I have anxiety, or I have nightmares, or I'm depressed. Here, take this pill. The pill is not going to solve the problem. The pill just numbs the situation. That's it. It doesn't solve the problem. So doctors don't have something to solve it. They just have a pill to give you. The problem is that the pill now The chemical will make the situation worse. Now you need a new pill to cover for the damages for the old pill. And then it becomes like a cycle of problems. And everybody's all day long just eating pills. And somebody at the end of the at the top of the chain in the pharmaceutical company is having a lot of fun with a lot of money that they're making. But that's the sad reality, that a person doesn't know how to deal with the change. And who do you go to? You go to the one with the white robe because he has a diploma on the wall. He don't know what to tell you, so he gives you a pill. Okay, numb the pain down. You have a headache? Here, take a Tylenol. Tylenol is not a solution to the headache. That's the most ignorant way of dealing with a headache. Why taking a Tylenol? You're basically numbing the nerve. That's it. You're basically ignoring the problem. Let me ignore that there's a problem, and I will not do anything. Instead of taking the Tylenol, drink some water. Maybe you're dehydrated. Eat something. Maybe rest. Maybe you have to sleep a little bit. Look what's the problem. Your body's talking to you. There's a solution. So, unfortunately, this huge change in the universe is affecting the entire universe. And it's affecting people. And the teachings of Kabbalah explains that this concept of Rut and Orpa is in us. One side is very keen to go to Kedusha. One side, in 1 second, can go to the Klipa. 1 second. That's all it takes. One wrong thought, you're in the depth of the Klipa in 1 second. This is this concept that you have this urge to be attached to Kedusha. You wake up in the morning, you're a super Jew. In the evening, you're somebody completely else. You're a total different person. Two kitzoniyut, shtei afachim, completely different. And this is in Avodat Hashem. It can be in a person that today he's very happy, and the next day, depressed in a way that they don't even know how to get out of it. One way you are 100% calm, and the next day you're out of your keli, you're upset. This is with the skitzoniyot. Now, connecting it to Shavuot, we have a habit that we don't sleep on Shavuot. There are many different explanations why we don't sleep on Shavuot. Many women ask if they should also stay up. I told you that if you have kids and you have to attend them in the morning and many other obligations, you don't have to stay up all night. But if you don't have kids, or the kids are already grown, or you have any other solution, stay up. It's the benefit you're getting from staying up that night and learning Torah. You can read Tehillim, you can do whatever you want. There's a huge benefit from that. Now, in the teachings of Kabbalah, it explains that there are spiritual worlds and there are physical worlds. The spiritual worlds, Olamot Ruchanim, they have a certain abundance in them. This is called Shefa. Hashem pours this abundance in this spiritual world, and they hold this Shefa, this abundance. Every day, there's a certain Shefa in it. Every day has a totally different energy. Sunday is one energy, Monday is a different energy. Every day of the year has a completely different energy. You can call it energy. The Kabbalistic term is called Shefa. Shefa is an abundance of something. Now, on the day of Shavuot, this Shefa that's in the spiritual world is a very, very unique and special energy. Why? Because it comes from the highest Madriga of Keter. The Keter is the highest Sfira. Keter is a crown. But in the Sfira of Keter, there's Chitzoniyut HaKeter, there's the external part of the Keter, there's Pnimiyut HaKeter, the internal part, there's Keter Elyon, Keter Tachton, there's many different types. Keter is a crown. So just imagine a physical crown that the external part has a lot of diamonds and rubies, but the internal part, you don't really see it. It goes on the head. And then there's the top part of the crown, the bottom crown, same thing in the spiritual level. On the night of Shavuot, the Shefa, the abundance, the energy that comes down into the spiritual world comes from Keter Elyon, from the highest level of Keter. Why? Because Hashem is happy. On that day, Hashem is very, very happy. What does it mean? What is this abundance, this Shefa that comes down? The Arizal explains that in the soul there are many levels. In Hebrew it's called Rovadim. In English, the right translation would be layers, like an onion. An onion, you peel a layer, and then another layer, and another layer, and there's hundreds, if not more, I don't know how many, but there are many layers in the onion. Same thing with the neshama. The neshama has many, many, many rovadim, many layers. And in the light of Shavuot, it comes and affects all these layers all the way to the most inner part of the neshama. That's what happens on the night of Shavuot. And everything comes from within. Now, same thing on the negative thing. All these problems that people are facing, they come from a very deep place. I know that you can blame it on the parents, or a trauma, or something. Yes, you can always find the course in life that made the change. But if you want to really go to the core of it, then you have to go to the pnimiut, to the essence. And that comes from a very, very deep place. Any problem that we have in this world, emotionally, physically, mental, whatever it is, comes from the nefesh. Even a sickness. If a person is sick, there's a deficiency in the nefesh. Nefesh is the lowest part of the soul. Not in the neshama. The neshama will not have a problem. The neshama might have the levushim, the garments of the neshama might be dirty, which will affect the person. But if a person has a problem in the nefesh, then it will come out in one way or another. It can come in a sickness, lo aleinu, and it can come in an emotional problem, depression, sadness, anxiety, nightmares, etc. But it comes from a very deep place in the nefesh. To kind of connect it all together is because every story that happens in the Tanakh, yes, it's a historical fact. It really happened, but there's also a very mystical meaning in it. And the teachings of the Kabbalah explains that the concept of Ruth and Orpah is that we all have two components in us. One component wants to get closer to holiness, and one component wants to pull us back. Ruth was able to go into the land of Israel and to stick with Kedusha, to holiness. What was the result? That the grandson of Ruth is David HaMelech, is the king. That from her comes Mashiach. So when you get closer to Kedusha, then the result will be holiness, Mashiach, redemption, anything that comes with it. When you get connected to Tuma, to the Klipa, then it will be the complete opposite. What was the result of Orpah? That she had a son, Goliath, and he went against David HaMelech. And if you read the entire history, what came after Orpah, besides the son Goliath, just read the history. So in me, there's these two motions constantly. Now, when there's a big change, it's going to affect me. I'm not going to be so balanced. So this kind of comes to explain why many people in our generation, they have all sorts of problems. Whether it's with communicating with their spouse, whether mental problems, emotional problems, all these problems. And nobody have answers. Very few people have really the answers. Mashiach is going to be the one who has the ultimate answer. Mashiach is going to come and solve the problem. But in the meantime, I need to find some type of a solution. And the solution comes in the night of Shavuot. Because in the night of Shavuot, the godly light that comes down to the world from the Keter HaElyon, it penetrates to the depth of the neshama. Which means that this is the time that I can generate, so to say, as much as holy power into my deeper layers of my neshama to affect it. Because if I have a problem with anger, this is a very small problem that I can deal with. It's not so small. Some people, their anger is so out of control, it becomes a very big problem. It can be anger, it can be depression, it can be sadness, it can be whatever imbalance that's in my body. Because these two motions are pulling me from side to side. It's complete disoriented. It's what's called in Hebrew, choser izun, any zone. There's no balance here. One day like this, one day like that. So again, this is not to chas v'shalom make a fun of anybody or look at somebody in the wrong way. It's to know what's the solution. And one of the solutions, of course, the ultimate solution is Mashiach. But what allows a person to battle their kitzoniyut, this extreme, is the night of Shavuot. This is not just a regular night that you eat cheesecakes or you meditating on the tiramisu and the blinches. This is just the food. You have 24 hours or 48 hours if you live abroad, that what am I meditating on? What am I trying to reach in that night? That's why, yes, we don't sleep because, okay, we know the men fell asleep the night before, so now we have to stay up. Yes, okay, that's on the literal level. But such a huge, amazing, godly light is shining on this night, and I'm going to go to sleep? I'm going to waste now 6-7 hours of this day? This is not the time to do it. This is the time to be united with this Or Elyon, with this high light that will affect the depth of my neshama. We all have problems. Don't think that one is better than the other, or oh, that person looks normal. Everybody has some cuckoo-ness in them. And I'm not saying it again. It's not saying it in a negative way. We all have shticks in our mind. What? Yeah, we're all suffering from some type of a problem. We're human. Some it's very extreme, some it's not so extreme. Some it's very hidden, some it's outside. But we all need this refuah. If you notice that when we say the Mishaberach on Shabbat, and in auspicious times when we take out the Torah, we mention something very interesting. We say refuat ha-nefesh ve-refuat ha-guf. The salvation of and the healing of the body and the nefesh. My body needs a refuah, my nefesh too. But you know what we say? We first say refuat ha-nefesh. Because first it comes in the nefesh, then the guf. So the night of Shavuot is the ultimate night for refuat ha-nefesh. Any person that wants to work a little bit on enlightening their nefesh, going a little bit out of their state of confusion or imbalance, is the night of Shavuot. And that's one of the many reasons why we do read the Megillah of Rut, because that, it symbolizes this concept of the concept of change, the concept of extreme, the concept of there's two motions in me. One wants to come to Kedusha, the other one wants to go to Tuma. And needless to say, what would be the result? When I get attached to Kedusha, to holiness, the result is Mashiach, like Rut. If I attach myself to Klipa, to the other side of holiness, that will be the result, the complete opposite. So the answer lies in that all my problems will be solved and can be solved from the Torah. And I know many people argue on that. No, you can't rely only on the Torah. Everything is in the Torah. I'm not saying that a person that Chas v'Shalom has some emotional problem to stop going to his therapist. There's nothing wrong with the therapist, but it all has to come from the Torah. And that's the night when we got the Torah. That's the night when we're getting the ultimate energy from the highest source to the most depth of our neshama to affect us. And when you want to affect the external part, the internal part has to be affected. Therefore, we want to stay up all night, we want to learn Torah, we want to tap into this special day. Don't concentrate on the cheesecake. You have to concentrate on what you can achieve that night. It means that the preparation, we still have a few more days. We're entering now to the sphere of Malchut. That's it. We're at the end of the end right now. This coming Shabbat is special. We have a Rosh Chodesh. Tonight is Rosh Chodesh on Shabbat. This is all one big preparation. This is already getting closer and closer to Matan Torah. If we all do our own preparation, we will receive the Torah with the coming of Mashiach. When Mashiach is going to come, he's going to reveal everything. But we still, if Chas v'Shalom, he decides to wait a few more days, then at least we want to reach to the core of our neshama to be able to heal ourselves in the level that only this highest level of godly revelation can do, and that happens on the night of Shavuot. And each and every one of us has to concentrate and meditate and do the effort. What I can do that night? You can't stay up all night? Then stay up 1 hour. Read a little bit of Tehillim. Read part of the Tikkun, of the Tikkun El Shavuot. Wake up early. Instead of waking up and praying in a late minyan, then this Shavuot pray in a small minyan, in a early minyan. I told you that Arizal explains that the night of Shavuot determines my connection to the Torah for the next entire year. What I will do on the night of Shavuot will actually decide and determine my connection, Kesher Sheli Im HaTorah, my connection to the Torah. How much Torah will I learn? How much I will have the desire and the will to run and do a mitzvah and so forth. So Bezat Hashem, we should really concentrate on the most important thing. I know it's hard with all the cheesecakes and the blinches and all the dairy food, but we definitely need to take advantage of that night. And needless to say, that the same day that they receive the Torah, we are receiving the Torah again in the spiritual level. And with our hard work and our merits, Bezat Hashem, we should receive the Torah Chadasha, Meitit Yitzem, the new Torah that is going to come with Mashiach. Bezat Hashem, it should happen this Chag Shavuot. Bezat Hashem, it should happen very speedy in our days. And we should have a beautiful, beautiful Chag Shavuot and a good Yom Tov and Chag Sameach.